So we're talking about INDEX, the Indoor Exposure Index. They have just received their official acceptance letter into the YouTube for Nonprofits program. And look, on the surface, this sounds like a pretty small administrative update.
Right. Organization open social media account.
Yeah, it's not exactly front page news, but you sent over the program documentation, the benefits breakdown, the welcome letter from the Google team, and you highlighted this specific phrase, global broadcaster.
Because that is, I mean, that is effectively what has just happened here. We really need to stop thinking about this as Index made a YouTube channel and start thinking about it as Index just acquired a television network. When you read the source material, specifically the breakdown of tools they now have access to, it becomes so clear. This isn't just about uploading videos. It's about a fundamental shift in how a nonprofit operates in the digital age.
That's a bold claim. I mean, my teenage niece has a YouTube channel where she reviews lip gloss. She has a broadcasting network too,
Yeah,
technically.
sir, she does.
So what makes this acceptance letter so different? What is in this toolkit that separates an organization like Index from a standard user?
And that is exactly the right question. The answer lies in friction, or, well, the removal of it. If you look at the benefits section of the documentation, it lists features that standard users simply do not get.
Like what?
Things like Link Anywhere cards, Google Ad grants, and specific fundraising tools that even cover transaction fees. Your niece might have an audience, but she doesn't have the infrastructure to mobilize them into a cause without losing them somewhere along the way. This program is designed to turn viewers into activists.
Okay, let's back up and just look at the scale of this for a second, because the numbers in the welcome letter are frankly hard to visualize.
Yeah, you are.
It opens by citing 1 billion viewers every month. And then further down in the benefits overview, it mentions the potential to tap into an audience of over 2 billion users.
It's a staggering number.
It is. But here's where my cynicism kicks in. 2 billion people are on the platform, sure. But they're there to watch music videos or gaming highlights or, well, cats.
Right.
They aren't there to read about indoor exposure data. Is this audience actually relevant?
That is such a common misconception, and the source material actually addresses this directly. It explicitly calls YouTube the second largest search engine.
Right, I did see that.
That is the key insight. People don't just watch YouTube anymore, they search YouTube. If you're worried about air quality in your home or you want to understand some specific health metric, you are increasingly less likely to go read a dense white paper.
No, you want someone to explain it to you.
Precisely. You want the visual answer. By joining this program, the documentation notes that this drives organic traffic, not just to the video itself, but back to the main website.
I see.
So, to answer your skepticism, yes, the audience is there, but they aren't just looking for entertainment. They're looking for information. And if Index isn't there to provide it, someone else, likely with less accurate data, will be.
That's a terrifying thought. The idea that misinformation wins just because it has a better video strategy.
It's the reality of the algorithm. The source says, and I'm quoting here, "Video is a new but essential format for storytelling." Note that word, essential.
Essential.
It implies that in 2026, if you aren't searchable on video, your data might as well be locked in a filing cabinet.
So this whole move is really about discoverability. It's about proving they exist in the first place.
It's about access. It's about taking high-level data and making it digestible for that 2 billion number. But let's look at what happens once they get that attention, because this is where the nonprofit-specific features really start to shine.
You're talking about the money.
I'm talking about the mechanics of giving, yes.
The document lists fundraising tools as a core benefit, and it mentions donation buttons. Now, I've seen these before, but usually when I see a donate option, I have to click it, then I'm sent to a PayPal page or some third-party processor, then I have to find my wallet. It's a hassle.
We call that friction. And in the world of philanthropy, friction is the enemy. Every single extra click costs you a percentage of potential donors.
Right.
What's unique about the YouTube nonprofit program, according to these guidelines, is the integration. The donation button is embedded directly next to the content.
So you're watching the story, you feel that emotional impact, and the button is just right there.
Exactly. You capture the intent in the moment it is generated. But there is a detail in the fundraising section that I think is the most significant line in the entire document. Did you catch the part about the fees?
I did, and I actually circled it because I thought I must have misread it. It says transaction fees are often covered by YouTube.
Think about the implications of that.
Well, usually if I donate, say, $100 to a charity online, the credit card company takes 3%, the platform takes a cut. the charity might only end up with $94 or $95.
Or even less.
Yeah.
For a small organization, those fees can add up to thousands of dollars of lost revenue over a year.
And here, YouTube is just saying, we'll cover it.
It's a massive subsidy. It means that 100% of the viewer's generosity goes directly to the mission. That's a game changer for donor psychology, too. People hate knowing their money is going to overhead or banking fees.
Of course.
Knowing it all goes to the cause makes them much more likely to click.
It also mentions live fundraising, direct, in-platform giving during live streams. I'm picturing an old-school telethon, but, you know, without the phone banks.
That's a great analogy. Imagine Index releasing a new report on, say, distinct air quality hazards in urban schools.
Okay.
They could just publish a PDF. Or, using these tools, they could go live, present the findings, answer questions in real time from the audience, and have a fundraising ticker running on the screen simultaneously.
It turns a static report into an actual event.
It creates urgency. And again, with zero fees.
Yeah.
It allows Index to be nimble in a way that traditional fundraising like direct mail or galas just can't match.
There's another feature listed here that caught my eye, mostly because I find it so annoying when regular YouTubers don't have it. The link anywhere cards.
Ah, yes. The walled garden issue.
Right. YouTube usually hates it when you leave YouTube. They want you to keep watching. So you can't normally link out to your own website directly from the video player. You have to say, you know, link in the description and just hope people scroll down.
Which they rarely do.
But the documentation here says this program allows Link Anywhere cards that direct viewers to external websites, events, or donation pages.
This is a privilege specifically granted to nonprofits. YouTube is, in effect, lowering the drawbridge for them. They're acknowledging that the conversion, the success metric, isn't just another view. It's an action taken in the real world.
Like signing a petition or...
Exactly. Signing a petition, registering for a clean air workshop.
It bridges that gap between passively watching and actively doing something.
It does. It turns the video into a portal. Without that card, the video is a dead end. With a card, it's a funnel.
I want to pivot for a second to the marketing side of this, because we've talked about organic search people, but the acceptance package also mentions integrated marketing, and specifically Google Ad Grants.
This is the superpower of being inside the Google ecosystem.
I'm familiar with Google Ads. Those are the sponsored links you see at the top of your search results. But usually those are incredibly expensive. Companies pay big money for those slots.
They do. But for eligible nonprofits in this program, the source indicates access to Google Ad Grants. And this is essentially an in-kind donation of advertising budget. Google is giving money that can only be spent on Google advertising.
So it's free advertising budget.
Correct. And that is so powerful for an organization like Index. It means they don't have to rely solely on the algorithm blessing them. They can proactively place their message in front of people searching for relevant keywords.
So if I search for, say, air purifier ratings, Index could use this grant to make sure their video appears right at the top.
Exactly. It completely levels the playing field. Suddenly, a nonprofit with a tiny marketing budget can compete for attention against major manufacturers or huge for-profit companies simply because they had this grant backing them.
That's huge.
It ensures that the best information, not just the most profitable information, gets seen.
And that connects back to the social impact feed that's mentioned in the benefits. It seems like YouTube is really trying to curate a specific space for this kind of content.
They are. I mean, the internet is a noisy place. You're competing with pranks, celebrity gossip, viral trends, everything. The social impact feed provides a designated lane for causes. It adds this layer of legitimacy.
I see.
If Index is featured there, it signals to the viewer, hey, this isn't just a random upload. This is a vetted organization working on something that matters.
Which brings us to the custom channel page. The document mentions this allows you to professionalize your presence. Why does that matter so much? Does the layout of a YouTube page really change how people perceive the data?
Immensely. Think about trust. Index deals with scientific data exposure levels, health risks. These are sensitive topics. If you land on a YouTube channel and it looks like a messy default user profile with no banner and disorganized videos, subconsciously, you question the validity of the information.
It looks amateur.
It looks amateur. And amateur data is dangerous. By having a custom channel page, Index can use their branding, they can organize their videos into playlists, say home safety, industrial standards, health impacts, and create an environment that looks like a library, not just a dumping ground.
It signals authority.
It signals institutional weight. And that segues perfectly into a section of the source material that honestly surprised me the most. We've been talking about all these technical tools, buttons, cards, algorithms, but the document spends a significant amount of space on soft skills.
Yeah, the storytelling and trust section.
Right. It talks about using video to show empathy, build credibility, and introduce your team.
I found that really interesting for a data organization. I mean, Index sounds cold. It sounds like a spreadsheet. Why is the program pushing them so hard to show empathy?
Because data doesn't move people. Stories do. The source material makes a really profound point here. It says video helps build relationships, making people more likely to support your cause.
So it's about putting a face to the spreadsheet.
Exactly. If Index releases a chart showing rising pollution levels, that's just information. But if they release a video of their lead researcher explaining why they're so worried, or a video interviewing a family affected by that pollution, that is connection.
It transforms the organization from a what into a who.
And that is absolutely vital for fundraising. People give to people. The document mentions community building through answering questions and sharing updates. It's encouraging a two-way street.
I like that idea of answering questions. It implies that Index shouldn't just be broadcasting. They should be listening.
It creates a feedback loop. If the audience is confused about a new regulation, they can ask in the comments, and Index can make a video response. That builds a community of practice, not just a passive audience.
But let me play devil's advocate again. This all sounds fantastic, building community, empathy, storytelling. But have you ever tried to make a good video? It's hard.
Oh, it's very hard.
It's really hard. Lighting, sound, editing, scripting. Index is a team of researchers and data scientists. They aren't Hollywood producers. Is there a risk that they get all these fancy tools but have no idea how to use them effectively?
That is a very real risk, and I think it's the primary barrier to entry for most nonprofits. But the program documentation anticipates this. It doesn't just give them the keys to the car. It offers driving lessons.
The Creator Academy.
Yes. The benefits list highlights access to exclusive tools like the Creator Academy, and it specifically notes that these lessons are tailored to nonprofits.
Tailored how?
Well, a standard YouTube tutorial might teach you how to get more views on a gaming video. But the nonprofit curriculum would likely cover things like how do you structure a fundraising pitch? How do you tell a sensitive story ethically? How do you explain complex data visually?
So it's not just film school, it's more like advocacy school.
Yeah, correct. It's about upskilling the internal team. The welcome letter also invites them to try a step-by-step guide to launching a nonprofit channel. This suggests they're holding Index's hand through the setup process. They aren't expected to be experts on day one.
That's reassuring, because otherwise it's just another piece of administrative overhead. Like, great, now we have to be YouTubers on top of our actual jobs.
Right. But if they lean into the resources, the academy, the support team, it becomes an amplifier of their job, not a distraction from it.
It really does seem like a complete ecosystem. You have the reach with the search engine, the conversion with the donation buttons, the promotion with the ad grants, and the education with the academy.
It is a comprehensive suite, and honestly, looking at this acceptance letter, I see it as a real maturing moment.
A graduation of sorts.
A graduation into the modern arena of influence.
So let's zoom out. We've unpacked the technical details, the fees, the algorithms. But for you, the listener tuning in, maybe someone who doesn't run a nonprofit, maybe just someone interested in how information flows, why does this all matter? Why should they care that Index got a letter from YouTube?
I think it matters because it represents a kind of blueprint for the future of truth.
The future of truth. Wow, that's deep.
Think about it. Uh-huh. We live in an era of information overload. We are drowning in content. For a long time, organizations like Index thought that having the facts was enough. We have the data, therefore people will listen.
The old, if you build it, they will come idea.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But we know now that isn't true. In the attention economy, the best story wins. By joining this program, Index is acknowledging that they have to play the game to win the game.
Yeah.
They have to combine their rigorous truth with compelling storytelling.
They have to learn to speak the language of the 21st century, which I guess is video.
Yes. And this program provides the grammar for that language. The link anywhere cards, the lack of fees. These are the tools that allow truth to compete with all the noise.
So it's empowering the good guys to have the same weapons as the clickbait farms.
In a way, yes. It democratizes the megaphone.
I'm really curious to see what their first video looks like. You know, will it be a stiff researcher in a lab coat? Or will they really take the storytelling advice to heart?
I suspect there will be a learning curve. But with the Creator Academy resources, I'm optimistic. The most important thing is that they are in the room. They are on the platform where the questions are being asked.
And thanks to the donation tools, if they do a good job, they might actually get the funding to do even more research.
That's the flywheel. Better storytelling leads to more funding, which leads to better data, which leads to better stories.
A virtuous cycle.
It is.
Before we wrap up, I want to leave our listener with a thought that really stuck with me while reading these documents. We kept coming back to that word essential. The source says video is essential for storytelling. We know YouTube is the second largest search engine. We know billions of people are there.
It's the public square.
It is. So here is the question. In this digital age, if an organization or a cause doesn't have a video strategy, does it actually exist?
In the public eye.
Exactly. If you aren't searchable on the platform where everyone is searching, are you invisible? The source implies that silence is no longer an option. So as we watch Index embark on this, ask yourself, what happens to the important causes that don't get this letter? What happens to the data that stays in the dark?
That is the real danger.
Something to mull over next time you're scrolling through your feed.